Jane, where did this interest for you start in China?
Well, it started for me when I was a student or someone just planning to go to study in university in the UK. And it was just, I think I'd had an interest in China somehow had sort of seeped into my consciousness. And when I was looking for a languages degree to take, the one at Leeds University in Chinese studies caught my eye. And once I'd started, that was me hooked. I started off actually studying Chinese and French, but very quickly shifted to just Chinese studies. And my interest in politics grew from that. And, you know, I've just become sort of the, you know, I didn't know at the time that this was going to be, you know, the rest of my life spent traveling backwards and forwards to China, but there you are.
What period was that when you were starting studying Chinese?
That was in the early 80s. So I actually began my degree at Leeds University in Chinese Studies in 1983. So I'd been kind of, I guess it, the idea came to me just before that in 1981 to 82. And it was a time when people didn't know very much about China. The opening up had really only just begun and certainly hadn't really reached Britain. So lots of people were pretty surprised at this. And it was a very sort of unusual thing to do at that time, much less so now, obviously.
Yeah, you're right, because there was very little information even then, 83, about China. Very few photographs or images of the country. It's just amazing that you kind of latched onto it to do this.
I think it was the language itself that attracted me initially. I liked languages. I studied languages, European languages, and I think it was the idea of this really very different language. And I have to say that the fact that you had a chance to study and live in Shanghai for a year just sort of appealed to me as something rather different and interesting to do as well. So it's that combination.
What year was that you lived in Shanghai?
84 to 85 was my first year in Shanghai at Fudan University.
Did you take many photographs?
Not as many as I wish I had, but yeah, I do have an album at home of photographs showing not many cars, lots of bicycles, a really very different Shanghai from today.
Because when you were standing on the Bundit looking across the Huangpu, the skyline would be totally different.
Yeah, that's right. I remember one of my friends at Fudan, even later in around 1988 when I went back to live there, had a friend who lived over there, but I mean, it was basically fields in Pudong, and there was a ferry that you could catch over there, but it was quite a hike to get around over there, and there was really nothing, none of the buildings that you see today.
In those days, you would have lots of the steamers, the Dongfang Hong Steam Company taking the boats, the Easter's Red Company taking the boats up to Chongqing, and the Great Yangtze journeys on these masses of people going up and down river.
That's right. I did once, I think it was the Christmas, around the Christmas of the end of 1984, and I travelled all the way from Chongqing right down to Shanghai, actually, down the Changjiang, the Yangtze River, which was a fascinating journey in those days on a pretty chilly boat, I seem to remember.
Right.
Not really a luxury end of the tourism market at that point. It was a great journey and brought us right into the Huangpu and right into Shanghai.
That's right, and you come down through the Guzhou Bar, the first dam there on the Changjiang.
That's right, and you know, we saw the Three Gorges, you know, at that point, before there became talk of fully damming the river and sort of limiting the views and the spectacular sights you see there.
It is a fantastic, I did that journey all the way from Lushan in Sichuan right down to Hankou, and this was in 1994 when they were just starting the Three Gorges Dam. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's an incredible feat, that whole thing.
You then decided to become academically involved with China. What made this decision in your mind?
After I finished studying Chinese at Leeds, I did go back to Shanghai, and I lived there for a couple of years working for an American law firm for a while, studying again, and I just wanted to improve my Chinese, which is pretty much a lifelong project, learning Chinese. And it was while I was there that I started thinking about what it really was that fascinated me about China. And it actually, I think the interest in Chinese politics was the thing that I'd picked up. And that was partly from lessons I'd had as part of my degree at Leeds University, where we'd had a really inspirational teacher, Professor Bill Jenner, who did this wonderful course. It was just fascinating to me. And I think that's probably what kind of initiated my particular interest in Chinese politics. But of course, I was generally interested in contemporary China. So then I decided to come back and specifically took a master's degree with special reference to China at SOAS in London. Mm. That was really, I thought, the best place in the UK to combine area studies and political science. And then I stayed on and did a PhD that kind of led to that and decided to you know, work in universities, teach people, supervise students, and research contemporary China.
You actually first came to China a couple of years before me. And people are fascinated why we, coming at that time from a modern country, the UK, why we become so fascinated with China, why we want to go and live there, why we want to turn our backs on the modernity that was here at that time.
That's right. Although I don't think, I mean, looking back on the 80s in the UK, that was an era when you, for various reasons, you wanted to leave.
Well, Scotland was okay.
Yeah, Scotland was okay, but I wasn't in Scotland, unfortunately. I hadn't discovered Scotland at that point. But I think, yeah, it was just so different, and China was just emerging. Things were beginning to change quickly, and I think we could sense that, even though we had no idea that it would really change as much as it did. I think for us, you know, just to see that dynamism kind of starting to emerge, and just, you know, the social change, and just, I suppose we all get a little bit, you're treated so well as a foreigner in China, and people are so nice, and everyone's always so friendly and welcoming, and very encouraging of you Chinese, when you're, even when you're starting and you're not really good at it, the people are very encouraging and tell you you're great. So, and it's just a really fascinating, lovely place to live and be and to observe. And I feel like it's been a real privilege to have had all these years of being able to sort of see those changes and have a chance to, as an academic, to analyse them and think about them and write about them and everything. So it's been an interesting journey, and one that I never would have expected to be on at this point.
We were there just at the point where China was opening, it was emerging. Shenzhen had started, Guangzhou started. Later on, you would see Shanghai transforming. We've actually witnessed the greatest transformation of any country in the 20th and 21st century.
Exactly. I remember when Shenzhen was announced, you know, as a sort of initiative, and everyone sort of poo-pooed it and said, yeah, you know, that's not going to happen. And then 10 years later, there was this, you know, this city had already a vibrant, big metropolis. And that's just one example. You know, everything has changed.